It's Alexa. I'm just, we only have one Zoom account, so just says Robin, but I'm obviously not Robin.
Oh, Robin must be, oh no, Eric, it's not Robin.
Robin is the new city recorder. I don't know if you guys have met yet.
We haven't, no.
I think it looks like I have to manually go through and unmute everybody. I guess it's still a little early.
Tim and Greg, can you guys hear us?
Yep, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, it's clear, yeah.
I can, yeah.
And Tim's here, if you can hear me.
Great. Looks like we've got Rachel here.
Rachel Snyder's here, yes.
Great. And David, is that right? Or is that Kodiak?
Give me just a second. I think one of the Planning Commission members might be here.
So Rachel, we do have one agenda item before yours, Rachel and Tim.
Yeah.
Obviously you're welcome to sit in for the whole thing, but just to let you know, we do have another one first.
Yeah, I was going to just kind of watch from the sidelines and see until it was our turn.
Okay.
That was my plan too, and I think that Bob will be joining us, but
okay,
that was his plan.
Sounds good.
I couldn't get the link to work because I couldn't get to the City of Lapine website.
Craig is having issues too.
Yeah, that's interesting.
That's weird.
I was having the exact same issues, and so I ended up, you know, I turned off my computer and restarted. I tried my wife's computer. I turned off. Ultimately, what I ended up doing is I turned off the Wi-Fi on my phone, and I found that it was working fine. And fortunately, I have a mobile connection that I'm able to use, and so for whatever reason my hard connection, my landline, doesn't work, but the mobile connection works.
Huh.
Yeah, I couldn't open a single City of Lapine website. I was freaking out.
I know, I signed on at like 5 o'clock to make sure everything was okay. Rachel, what is your last name? I'm taking
it's Snyder. Snyder, S-N-Y-D-E-R.
Got it. Terry is getting set up downstairs. She's one of the Planning Commission members, so she should be joining us shortly.
Hey, Russ.
Hello. I forgot to turn on my speakers.
Oh, hello.
Hi, Robin. Nice to meet you.
I'm Alexa. Robin is our city recorder, and we only have one Zoom account, so it just says Robin, but my name's Alexa. I'm the new city planner, so nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too, virtually.
Yeah, I know. Hopefully next month this will be in person.
That helps a lot,
mm-hmm.
I think.
I think so, too.
Were you able to not log on to it? The instructions are on the... Okay, so just go ahead and do that. I'm sitting in front of the computer right now. No, it's not hard.
We can hear you. Well,
the zoning is before our thing, but it would be best if you got onto the meeting because we don't know exactly when the zoning issue is over. Okay. All right. Sounds good. All right. I'm the computer's up. I'm up and on it. So. Yes. Okay. You got it. All right. Bye. Sorry about that.
It's okay. And I do know that Kathy isn't going to be joining us, so I think we're just sort of waiting for John and Mary.
Well, I think I'll just tuck out and sit on incognito until Greg's. You're not going to be very long, are you, Greg?
Hope not.
Okay, buddy. I'll see you at the barber shop when they open.
Right, there you go.
Yeah, I gotta get there too.
Yeah, well, some of us pretty lucky. All right, we'll talk to you guys a little bit later.
So it doesn't look like we have any members of the public joining us at this point yet. Has anybody heard of any? I just want to make sure that if there are, we make sure we give them time to talk and don't miss them.
Like I was saying to you earlier, Robin said that somebody called her potentially would be joining the meeting, or she was going to be emailing me a comment. I never got an email, so I'll keep an eye out if anybody, because okay. I have to admit them to the meeting anyway, so if I see somebody join, I'll announce them.
Okay, great.
It looks like... Bless you.
Excuse me. I tried to mute it, but I didn't get there fast enough.
It's okay.
Looks like Carrie got here.
Yeah, it looks like, yes. Robert.
Alexa, you might want to let folks know when they come on, as muted. So for them, they can either unmute themselves, or if you want to unmute them, that's another way to go about it. But in general, folks, when you come on to the Zoom meeting, you're muted and you have to unmute yourself.
I have a list of the participants here and it says who's muted and who's not right now. So I was just going to wait a couple more minutes to ask them to unmute.
We've got a muted phone call down there.
Yeah, it looks like we might have a few members of the public, I'm assuming. I'm going to unmute people. Unmute.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hello, Terry Myers here.
Hi there. Hi from upstairs.
Hello from downstairs with my big helper friend.
Yeah, I'm glad she was able to help you.
Yes, thank you.
Of course.
I just saw John a second ago. Everybody else there?
So it looks like we have somebody joining via phone call. Is that one of the Planning Commission members?
It's probably Mary.
Mary's on.
It's Mary.
It's actually me. It's like I have phone and computer access.
That's John.
It's John. Got it. Just taking attendance.
It is John, right?
No, that was actually Joe.
Oh, that's nice. Joe.
Yeah, from the applicant's consultant team. Hey, Joe.
Okay.
Joe Bessman. So, Joe, you said that you're the one on a phone call, too.
Yeah, my internet's a bit spotty, so by having the phone, it's usually a better connection.
Okay. And then, so I don't see John or Mary yet.
I think Mary's there by phone.
I only have one phone, and that he said it was Joe.
That's true.
Oh, I got it. I thought I heard Mary say she was there. My mistake then.
It's okay.
How about Kathy?
Kathy isn't going to make it tonight. I did get an email from her. Should we wait a bit longer and see if John or Mary join us?
We do need to, yeah, because we need them for a quorum.
We're going to have to. We don't have a quorum.
That's true.
We need both of them.
Yeah. I'm just trying to figure out the other folks that are here. Who is Robert?
Robert Marks is the second issue. Okay, I don't know, can you hear me? This is Rachel
Snyder.
Yeah, I can.
Yep.
In regard to the subdivision.
Got it. Just wanna write people's names. And then I see a Charles Rucker.
Yeah, I'm the applicant with Huntington and Memorial.
Got it. Cool. Well, hopefully we have a quorum.
Alexa, do you have phone numbers for John and Mary? Can I give them a call?
Let me take a look. I'm sure I can find them somewhere. I can try to call them.
You'd think that this big room down here would be big enough for us to sit 6 feet apart and all be here.
Yeah. Looks like somebody else is joining right now. Who's there on the Galaxy tab, it says?
They're muted.
Yeah, I just asked them to unmute it.
Did that work?
Hi.
Hi, I'm Janine Wagner on the Galaxy E, nickname J9.
Janine Wagner, got it. We are just waiting for a couple more of our commission members to hopefully join, so we'll have a quorum. I'm going to try to call them, though.
Okay.
Jack Malmstrom's here, not by video, just by phone.
Sorry, who is that?
This is Kodiak Malmstrom.
Oh, hey, Kodiak. This is Tammy. Alexa is running the Zoom call here, but I think she has stepped off momentarily to check in with two other commissioners to make sure we can get a quorum here today.
Okay.
Russ, have you heard from either one of them?
I talked with Mary earlier this week and she was planning on being here.
Yeah, okay.
I was on a meeting with John yesterday. He didn't say anything about not being here. So.
Yeah, well, I know Kelly reached out to all of them. So.
Mary has some problems with trying to hook in. John certainly shouldn't.
Well, in the meantime, and while Alexa's making some calls, and I might, I'll just make a couple just quick announcements. I think most of you probably heard her say that there's a new city recorder, Robin, who's not on the call, but she'll be at City Hall. And Alexa has joined the city as the new city planner. And so she'll be taking the lead on most of the applications that come in, and I'll provide support as needed. But our goal was to get her there and up and running quickly so that she can be a resource on a daily basis, which is pretty exciting for the city to have somebody on staff every day for the public, for applicants, just as a resource in general. So we're pretty excited to have her. I should probably have waited to say that in front of her, but so if you need help with any planning issues, Alexa is there every day, and you can call City Hall now every day to catch somebody.
Hey.
Unfortunately, my Alexa has been kicking off every time you said that name. So you might have music before we get done.
We can have fun with that. We can make some demands right now.
Right. There we go. Little dance party.
All right, so waiting for Alexa here, but planning for if we don't have a quorum, which I will sincerely apologize on behalf of the city if that does happen.
Hi.
Oh, there she is right there.
Okay, so Mary was having some technical difficulties. She should be getting on the phone with us, but I do see another phone number here. I'm wondering if that's John. Now we have two phone numbers.
Mine is the 4705. This is Kodiak.
Oh, okay. So you're on here as, got it. Because I see your name too. Okay. So I can try to call John again and see if he picks up, but he didn't the first time.
So. Okay. That'd be great. Yeah.
Sorry.
Let's try another time. And what I was just starting to tell everybody is if we can't get him here, we will go ahead and have Russ open the hearings and allow anyone that wants to testify to testify, whether that be applicants or applicants would be probably best to keep to the next hearing, so all the planning commissioners can hear it. But if we have anybody from the public that wants to testify, so that you don't have to come back another round, we can take that testimony now. It looks like maybe we just have one person.
We have somebody else joining right now.
Okay.
Hopefully that's him.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hello.
Mary?
Hi. This is Mary.
Good. I'm glad that that worked. Okay. I'm going to go and try to call John again so that we can hopefully do this meeting.
Okay.
Hi, Mary. Just sit tight for a little bit. We're just waiting for John, and then we'll have everybody and we can get going.
Okay.
We do have a quorum without him, right? There are three of us?
I guess you do. I was going off what you're saying you needed him, but that's no, that's a good point. You're fantastic. We've got three of you. That's great. Well, let's give Alexa, since she's our note taker now.
Are we good to go with three people then?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Because, yeah, he didn't pick up again, so.
Okay, so just to confirm, we're just missing Kathy and John, correct?
Yep.
Okay. All right, that's great. Just take it away, Russ.
Okay, we've got a quorum. We've got Mary, Terry, and myself, three of us. So we can open the meeting. Added agenda. We'll handle those in the other matters portion of the agenda. Approve prior meeting minutes. Terry or Mary?
I approve. I approve.
I need a motion and a second. Mary?
I approve the minutes.
Okay, so Terry? You second? Lost Terry. She's muted again.
Is she?
Yeah.
Hello, am I there?
Yes,
you
Terry.
Are, now.
Are you seconding the minutes?
I seconded. I also moved it, whichever. You got me.
Okay.
Okay, all in favor? Aye.
Okay, aye.
Aye.
Well done.
Aye.
We accepted the meetings. We're going to open the public hearing now. And the first one on the list is Planning File 03CC-19 and 03CA-19 concerning the change in zoning for the public facilities to commercial mixed use. Tammy?
Great, yeah, I'll take it from here. So I have to start with the quasi-judicial hearing process, the opening statements required by state law, so bear with me. The Planning Commission is the hearings body, will hear argument concerning the application of K Huntington LLC. The address of the property is not assigned, but it's tax lot 100 on Deschutes County Tax Assessor Map 221011CB. The applicant is requesting approval of a comprehensive plan map amendment and zone change. All testimony shall be directed to the hearings body, that's the Planning Commission. The applicable substantive criteria are those found in the staff report. They'll also be shown on the presentation momentarily that Alexa will show. All testimony, argument, and evidence must be directed to the applicable criteria or other criteria in the comprehensive plan or zoning ordinance you believe to be applicable. At the conclusion of this hearing, the hearings body will deliberate towards a decision or continue the hearing or deliberations to a time and date certain. Failure on the part of any person to raise an issue with sufficient specificity to afford the Planning Commission and parties to this proceeding an opportunity to respond to the issue precludes appeal to City Council and Land Use Board of Appeals on that issue. Failure of the applicant to raise constitutional or other issues relating to conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to allow the local government or its designee to respond to the issue precludes an action for damages in Circuit Court. The hearing will proceed as follows. I'll present a brief staff report. The applicant will have an opportunity to provide testimony. Any interested parties can present testimony or evidence. The applicant, as the party bearing the burden of proof, will be afforded an opportunity to represent or to present rebuttal testimony. An opponent rebuttal may be allowed at the Planning Commission's discretion. Commissioners, at this time, you must disclose any ex parte contacts, including site visits, prior hearing observations, biases, or conflicts of interest. Does any commissioner have anything to disclose? And if so, please state the nature of same and whether you can proceed. And I think at this point I would, because we're using this technology, maybe do a roll call to see if anybody has ex parte contacts.
Nothing for me.
Nothing for me.
Okay. Does any party wish to challenge any member of the hearings body based on ex parte contacts, biases, or conflicts? Nope, hearing
no.
None. Okay, great. So we're going to just turn to a presentation that Alexa has control over, and we're going to try this out remotely. It's a presentation that outlines the kind of the higher points of the staff report. Commissioners all have a staff report that they've had for a week to review, as well as an addendum that they received just today. So I will spend a little more time on some of the addendum. And Alexa, are you able to share that presentation at this point?
I'm going to share my screen and pull that up.
Okay. Great.
And we are starting with the zone change?
Correct, yeah.
Got it. Okay. Can you see my screen?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, great. Okay, let's go and move to the next page. All right, and it's showing your screen, but it's cutting off the far right side.
You see it now?
I think probably well enough. It's interesting, it covers it with the photos. I don't know if that's what everybody else is seeing, but I can see enough of it. If anybody has any issues, speak up and let me know. This is the aerial view here of the lot. You can see it's a vacant lot right now. It's 4.7 acres in the northwest corner of Huntington Memorial. And since we've got the aerial up, just give you a little orientation. Immediately to the north, the St. Charles new facility that was recently rezoned to the same zone that's being requested, CMX. Straight due east is the sagebrush area that's currently vacant, however, was recently approved for a subdivision as well as some CMX zoned land. You can also see just south of Memorial and to the east of the subject property are the Little Deschutes Lodge, the new Housing Works development, Habitat for Humanity, a lot of development there, much of it being commercial mixed use. So let's go ahead and move to the next slide.
Oops, sorry. I'm just trying to mute myself because my phone keeps ringing.
Okay. I'll let you go on mute. Okay, so this is the current zoning map that you can see here on the bottom right. The parcel right now is currently zoned public facilities. That was a carryover from the county zoning. I'll talk about that in a minute. You can see, like I mentioned, due north, that kind of salmon color is, that's the CMX zone. So you can see that one to the north. Immediately to the south, that light purple lavender is a residential commercial mixed use. And then you see some other mixed use a little bit further to the east, which is the Housing Works Habitat for Humanity area. And a little bit further south is where the commercial district starts going into the downtown area. The requested change for the comp plan designation and zone is to change it to commercial mixed use in that area. All right, next slide. The process, we followed all of the state and local requirements for notice. DLCD was noticed in time. Public notice was mailed as required. We've got the public hearing today. For this issue, there will be a public hearing before council as well, and that date is not yet set. Applicable review criteria, I won't go through it, but these are listed in the staff report as well. There's quite a few, everywhere from comp plan to development code through the Oregon state statutes. So of those criteria, I just wanted to focus in on some very specific ones. Like I said, everything's outlined in the staff report. Planning commissioners have had it to review. But there's three main ones I really want to focus on. The first A, this is the approval criteria in the development code. So A, the proposal must be consistent with the comp plan, and as well as the statewide planning goals and the Oregon administrative rules. B, it needs to be found to be in the public interest with regard to community conditions or respond to changes in the community or correct a mistake or inconsistency in the subject plan or code. And it must conform to the TPR or the transportation planning rule. So we'll touch on those right now. So first I wanted to talk about section B, where it listed the three options and changes in the community, correcting an error, et cetera. In this case, the justification is changes in the community, as well as it's a proposal that's in the public interest. As I mentioned, the existing zoning is public facility. It was a remnant of the forest zoning from the Deschutes County zoning when the city took over. And at that point, there was a significant amount of it that it was decided to put it in this holding, kind of a holding zone, public facilities. Some of it made sense and some of it was just truly a holding zone. And in this case, this property is owned by a private owner. It's not needed for public uses. It's not a public owner. So its use truly, as staff believes, is a higher and better use as a commercial mixed use. As I highlighted before, the surrounding area includes several CMX parcels, and the downtown corridor of commercial zone is very close to the south, and this would serve as an extension of that, and somewhat of a transition from a downtown core to more of a residential and mixed use area to the north. And then finally, the mixed use development is supported throughout the comprehensive plan and expressed as actually a desired zone because of the complete communities that it can bring to the area. All right, as I mentioned, the comprehensive plan, we have to refer to that. There are 19 statewide planning goals, which are as applicable reflected in this comprehensive plan. The three I'm gonna briefly touch on are transportation, economy, and housing. So first, let's talk about the transportation planning role. I reference this as something that's in the comp plan. It's three areas. It's in the comprehensive plan, it's in the statewide planning goals, and it's in this OAR 660 transportation planning rule. And essentially, it requires review of a proposal to determine whether a zone change significantly affects a transportation facility. And if it does, it must be mitigated. And in this case, the applicant submitted through Joe Bessman, the transportation consultant that's on the phone here, a TPR analysis as well as a follow-up to that TPR analysis to talk about mitigation. And it did identify one failing intersection, that being Huntington and Memorial. With the increased development in that area that's occurred over the last few years and is coming, this one does show a failure. And I can't see the screen, but if you see all the way to the right, the circle all the way to the right says no, it's not acceptable because of the levels of service that are there and the delays that are occurring at that intersection. So as a result, the applicant acknowledged that and said, we agree there's failure. Here are some mitigation options. And we'll move to the next slide.
Can you see the whole screen now, Tammy?
I can't. I don't know if anybody else can. Maybe you guys can. Maybe it's my format. Oh, I can now. Okay, so the transportation mitigation, the mitigation that was identified both by the applicant as well as in some preliminary city conversations and planning is a roundabout at Huntington and Memorial. Now, one approach would be to suggest that this application is the first one to break it. Therefore, they need to construct the roundabout. The city is not taking that position. The city is agreeing with the applicant that it seems reasonable to pay a pro rata share of the improvement, meaning that they pay for the percentage of that cost that's attributable to their traffic that would be going through that intersection. So based on their numbers in the TPR analysis that Joe Bessman submitted, the zone change would add traffic to the intersection that would be about 7.4% of the total traffic. So he looked at how much traffic the current zoning public facilities could generate versus how much traffic the proposed zone of CMX could generate and looked at that difference. And that difference equates to about 7.4% of that total traffic. So 7.4% of the $2.2 million is $163,000. Divided across all the PM peak hour trips for that property, it comes out to $1,292 per trip. Again, this is taken right from the applicant's proposed mitigation, and the city engineer reviewed it and agreed that it was an appropriate mitigation. The city is not requiring that to be paid right now. It will be paid at time of building permit. So if the applicant comes in for a development that's only 10 trips, generating PM trips, then it pays, you know, 10 times that $1,292. So it is just is prorated, and then it's divvied out based on timing of development. All right, next slide. We would also need right-of-way dedication required to accommodate a 200-foot diameter roundabout at that intersection. That's also a recommended mitigation in the applicant's traffic analysis. And then finally, the city would require these conditions of approval to be recorded in an agreement that would go, run with the land in case the property was sold. It would provide notification to anybody that those are requirements of that property. All right, I'll just move on and touch on the other two chapters and goals that are particularly relevant. The next one is goal 9 and chapter 9 of the comprehensive plan. It talks about economy. That chapter talks about providing adequate opportunities throughout the state for a variety of economic opportunities or activities, and that's really related back to the statewide planning goal for economy. And throughout the comp plan, as I mentioned earlier, it includes several references to the desire for commercial mixed-use lands for this reason. And it even talks about needing zone changes to achieve that. In this case, the proposal would add commercial land to the city, increasing opportunities for commercial and mixed uses. So staff finds it keeps the city in compliance with Goal 9 and Chapter 9. And then the final chapter I wanted to highlight briefly was Goal 10, housing. Now, this is not specifically a residential request. However, the CMX zone does allow all types of residential housing from single family to multifamily, duplexes, townhouses. You all did, commissioners did receive a comment letter from the Fair Housing Council that suggested some additional findings on Goal 10. And so I just wanted to highlight that and say that the comprehensive plan with input and actually on the basis of the housing needs analysis and buildable lands inventory done for the city states that the city has a surplus of residential lands. So the fact that we're adding additional is certainly not negatively impacting that already existing surplus. So staff finds that this proposed zone change has no impact on the city's ability to provide housing, and in fact it provides a beneficial possibility. All right, and then getting close to the end here, I did want everyone to, maybe I'll just read them the conditions of approval because these were not in the staff report, they were in the addendum. I do wanna make it very clear what they are for the commissioners, so bear with me while we take a look at them real quick. There are three proposed conditions of approval. And these are ones I've already mentioned, but let's go through them real quick. Prior to receipt of a building permit, all development on the subject property must submit to the City of Lapine a payment of $1,292 per PM peak hour trip, which amount shall increase on the first day of each calendar year by an amount proportionate to the yearly change in the Consumer Price Index for all urban consumers for the West Region as published by the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, essentially accounting for inflation. So if this development didn't occur for 20 years, the cost of that roundabout certainly would go up. So this accounts for that inflation. Number two, prior to issuance of any land use approvals or building permits on the subject property, applicant must execute a deed of dedication acceptable to the city that dedicates right away to the City of Lapine, sufficient to accommodate a 200-foot diameter roundabout measured from the current intersection of the center lines of Huntington Road and Memorial Lane. So that's getting some right away on the southeast corner of the subject property. And then finally, within 30 days after this decision becomes final and prior to issuance of any land use approvals or building permits on the subject property, applicant must record a conditions of approval agreement acceptable to the city to memorialize the conditions of approval applicable to the development on the subject property and provide record notice of such conditions to future owners. Next slide.
Got it.
I have a recommended motion for us to come back to, but I think we need to take time to hear from the applicant. I'll entertain any questions as well. And then the next slide I have is just to leave it on the mapping for the applicant to use for any testimony they want to provide. So I guess before we turn it over to Greg, Russ, Mary, or Terry, do you have any questions, clarifying questions for me at this point?
No, I understand everything, Terry, here.
I understand what you're talking about.
I understand what you're talking about, but the question I would have is, are we saying that we must have a roundabout there?
That is the proposed mitigation. That right now is not in the city's capital improvements plan. There are conversations for that to occur. That is the mitigation that the one of the mitigations that the applicant identified. And I may let Joe Bestman respond to that in a little bit as well, as far as the proposed mitigation.
I'd like to hear some more about that rather.
Yeah,
than...
yeah, and he'll be okay. Speaking in this case on behalf of the applicant. Not the city, but he's got some good background information on that.
Thank you.
Yeah, Greg, do you want to take it away?
I would be happy to take it away if everybody's ready to hear from me. So, thanks for your thorough assessment, Tammy, and thank you, Mr. Chair and commissioners. Let's see. Yeah, we've been at this for quite some time now, and really the intent is to make a piece of property readily available for development in the city of Lapine, hopefully to provide some more economic development in the community, and also to, you know, there's also the potential for housing, for mixed-use development. So really the goal is to get some development, some more developable property available in the city of Lapine. I was just going to give a little bit of background around my history of you know, as I look into the history of the site, I understand that in 2006, the city was incorporated. At that time, there was all of this F1 zone land, which was forest zone land around the city. That F1 zone land was brought into the city and continued to be zoned F1 until 2017. And while it was zoned F1, it had a public facilities designation, comp plan designation on it, and in 2017 the city did a zoning map amendment to make all of the F zone properties public facilities. So great that was fixed up, and it makes sense that a lot of the property is actually zoned public facilities because a lot of it is owned by public entities, owned by the county, owned by the city, owned by other public entities. So the public facility zoning does make some sense. But in this particular case, the property is privately owned, and it's a smaller piece of property. The intent of the public facilities zone we have here, it's intended to provide areas for large scale public facilities and utilities that require separation from residential commercial uses. Additionally, the PF zone accommodates industrial uses that are compatible with large scale public facilities. All in all, we see this area is, there's a lot of residents happening in the area. There's commercial development happening in the area, and the public facility zone is not really suited for the long-term needs of that site. So what we're proposing is this commercial mixed use zone. As noted, it allows a lot of variety of commercial uses, also some mixed use development. We believe that we've documented that it meets all statewide planning rules, it meets all development code requirements, it meets all comprehensive plan policies. It really allows for continuation of a commercial corridor here from the downtown to the north. It's close to the recently rezoned St. Charles property. Let's see. I think all in all, we agree with the staff report. Staff did a fantastic job, a thorough job in presenting the compliance with code criteria. And we know that you have an extensive record that we definitely would be able to answer some questions If you do have questions about the project, the long-term goals and intents, the summary comments are that this zone change allows for market-demanded uses, employment opportunities in a manner that's not going to unnecessarily, it's not going to place unnecessary high costs on the land. It's proposed to address a change in the development pattern as we've seen in the community, and this land is not identified as needed for a public use. In regards to the traffic improvements, of course, the traffic is actually not currently failing. The reason that and I'll let Joe jump in here, but the reason that the traffic is failing is over the longer planning horizon. When you're doing a transportation planning rule analysis, you have to look at not just current impacts, but long-term impacts. So over a long-term planning horizon, that intersection is expected to fail with this upzone. And because of that, that's why some sort of mitigation is needed. And so Joe has been working on the project in regards to the traffic and traffic mitigation. So that being said, I would pass it, or I would turn it over to Joe to address the traffic comments. And actually, that being one other thing, take a bigger step back. We do have Charles on the phone, and we do have Kodiak on the phone. Property owners who would be, I'm sure, available if there's anything else they want to throw in about what their long-term plans are with the project, and or they're available to answer questions that you may have. So first of all, Charles and Cody, if you have any questions, feel free to jump in. If not, we'll turn it over to Joe to talk about transportation.
This is Kodiak. Thank you, Greg. Just real quick, I just want to clarify, because I hadn't seen the addendum. It looks like it came in later today. So it looks to me that the city has adopted our recommendation, regardless of what the future plans are of the city adopting SDC charges. These charges are going to be set in stone for us based upon this agreement if it's approved. Is that correct?
That's correct. At this point, the SDCs are in the works and in a conversation, but we just have nothing on the books right now to refer to, or any plans in place to address. So city staff, engineering, legal chose not to address a document yet or a fee yet that isn't in place. But that can be a conversation, I think, long term, as it will probably come on within the next year. We just don't have anything adopted at the moment.
So to clarify my question, these fees are associated with the non-established SDC fees at this present time. If you do adopt new SDC fees, then we would be subject to those new fees, or we would be subject to the fees that we're agreeing to in this process.
Okay, yeah, I understand the question. These fees are not associated with any potential future SDC fees. And for the Planning Commission's benefit, there are no SDC or system development charges for transportation right now, and have not been in the history of the city. However, there may be in the future. So in the past, the city has not had any way to recoup funding or generate funding for transportation improvements from developers. So Kodiak, to answer your question, this fee is associated simply with the impact that the zone change is having on the intersection and the pro rata share to fix that impact. It is not related to current or future SDCs.
Could the solution be not a roundabout, though? Could it be a signalized intersection? But I think that's what I'm turning over to Joe.
Yeah, let me try and address that question too. Perfect. Hopefully everyone can hear me. This is Joe Bestman, the traffic engineer for the applicant. And so I want to start out by saying that as we look at a rezone analysis, we have to keep in mind that this is going to look at a reasonable worst case trip generation scenario for the property under the existing and proposed zoning. So there are no impacts that are going to occur when we rezone this property. You know, really this is a paper exercise, and the impacts are going to occur when those actual uses come online and they're actually built at a higher intensity than what could be built under the public facilities zoning. Within the TPR, we also have a lot of restrictions about what we can account for and what we can do, especially as a private applicant. The city has a lot more flexibility in addressing impacts like these than an applicant. So within the study, what we're seeing is that Memorial Lane, when you start adding in the Russell subdivision, the Housing Works project, the affordable housing from Habitat for Humanity, all those projects together, the Memorial Lane intersection works, but it works with high delays for the left turns that are heading back into the Lapine downtown core. When we increase the trips from the west side of Huntington Road, now those left turns are fighting with our right turns, and those delays go up even higher, and it goes from an E to an F. It's not that we're breaking it, it's an incremental degradation, but it's enough that it goes from what's considered acceptable to what's considered not acceptable. Now, the reality is, as those delays occur, trips from this site are going to use Coach Road, they're going to use other connections, and the development on the east side of Huntington Road is going to use Crescent Creek Drive and hopefully by then the Bluewood connection to get down directly to First Street. But within this type of theoretical analysis, those are not yet funded projects to have, for example, the Bluewood connection coming down, so we can't rely on those in our analysis. Now, specifically to speak to the mitigation that was asked, does it need to be a roundabout? And in fact, does it even need to be at Memorial Lane? And the answer to that is no, it doesn't need to be either one of those. In fact, if you were to improve the intersection at Caldwell, well, that's connected by Crescent Creek Drive, and all those trips from the Newberry neighborhood could then use the improvement at that location. Could it be a signal? Absolutely it could. The reason we have a roundabout in here is because the city's preliminary conversations and the draft WikiUp refinement plan have identified this intersection as a roundabout. And so, you know, we're trying to be consistent with the city's ongoing plans that have not yet been adopted. Back to Kodiak's point, when the city does adopt a plan and they do have a funding mechanism, that also provides the necessary mitigation for this finding of a significant impact. And so while those aren't on the books, those are not yet adopted, we can't rely on those yet. When they are, we're going to be back in front of this commission to see if we can have these conditions removed so that we would then just pay whatever standard fees or other requirements are then in place. But this is kind of that stopgap until those longer range planning efforts are complete. So if there's any questions, I'm happy to answer those.
Are you asking me?
I'm asking everybody.
Okay, well, I'm just online waiting to hear on the development up here on off of Finley, so I'll just listen in. Thank you.
Okay, and just to clarify for that voice, this is not the application north of Finley, so we'll be to that application next.
Thanks, Joe. I think that was a good assessment. I think addressing some of the questions Kodiak had, and then just providing a good analysis of how we got to the suggested mitigation measure and the recommended condition of approval. I think that with that, you know, questions that the Planning Commission has of the development team, we would be more than happy to answer any questions that you have.
I believe we're opening to public comment first. Is there anybody from the public that wants to question? Guess not.
Are you directing the question about the development on Finley, or are you still on the other agenda?
We're still on the other agenda. Not started the other
one. All right. Thank you, sir.
Is there anybody from the public here to question this particular problem? I guess we don't have to have a rebuttal if we don't have any questions.
Perfect.
About deliberations. Mary?
I don't have anything to say other than I think they lined it out really good. I think it sounds like a sound plan.
Terry?
Hey, as long as when in the future we pass those laws that everybody is putting their money in and these folks are back in front of a committee so that their $1,292 per PM trip is reduced appropriately, then I have no questions. I think that was settled for me. And I'm not fond of roundabouts either, just in general.
Some people are, some people aren't.
I know.
My question is, again, on the roundabouts and the future there. You know, if that was the original plan from the city, that is certainly not written in stone, as far as I know. But my major concern about this is when we open it up to development, we could put in a nice little apartment house there with 50 units or something along those lines. And all of a sudden we have a lot more traffic coming out of there than we ever thought we would. And that's all in a zone change. Is that correct, Tammy?
So the zone change, we don't know, I think as you alluded to, we don't know what that exactly right. is going to be, but yes.
But it could open up to an apartment building.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yes, an apartment building would be an allowed use. Yes, there are a lot of different uses, but that is one that it could be.
The other thing is coming out from the school, that's where all the buses come out in the morning and at night. It's coming out on that road in a lot of cases. They don't necessarily go down and out First Street. So we still have a school down there that does have traffic. And if we have a large number of residential units all of a sudden there, that could be a major problem. Comment, Joe?
Greg here, and I have a comment if this is the appropriate time. So the zone change it allows for, we're not proposing any specific use. This is, and with our analyses of water, sewer, transportation, we considered a reasonable worst case scenario. And so the reasonable worst case scenario anticipates situations, just as you said, these higher intensity uses. Will the public infrastructure continue to operate adequately? And the suggested mitigation measure, which includes that proportionate share contribution to the improvement, accommodates those additional trips. Now, when a new development comes online, if let's say somebody wants to build a apartment complex or restaurant, or St. Charles wants to expand, some of these different sorts of things, they will have to go through site plan review. And with site plan review, we'll be looking at a traffic impact analysis, and that'll be looking at the specific use that is proposed, where the exact access point is, how it's going to interact with existing trips on the system, things like bus systems, and where those access points are. So those that further analysis. So what's being posed now is looks at the longer planning horizon of all the trips that are going to come on here. And then if, you know, when new development occurs, those site specific trips will be analyzed with those site specific development.
Okay.
And if it doesn't meet city standards at that time, it is not approvable. Then they'd be looking at additional, you know, say mitigation measures, something along those lines. But that you need to have adequate infrastructure to receive site plan approval.
True. And regardless of what we put in there or what you put in there, we're going to have to do something about that intersection anyway. I mean, that intersection is a problem right now. So that's just my comment. Yep. Anybody else have any comments? Mary, Carrie?
Nope, you sound good.
I'm all set.
Okay.
All right, Alexa, maybe if we can go back one slide, we can give the Planning Commission a proposed motion to take a look at while they continue to deliberate, if there are any more questions or comments. And I would note to the Planning Commission that you'll need to close the hearing at some point when you're ready to do so.
Right. We've got two people on the phone. I'm the only one who can actually read it.
Oh, okay.
But now,
that's
a good one. I didn't understand the last.
Alexa, are you able to quickly print that for Terry downstairs?
I can read it. It's on my
Mary
screen.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Mary's the one that's on the phone.
I'm on the phone.
Yeah.
I can read it, Russ.
Okay.
I need a motion.
Okay. I move to recommend approval of files 03CA-19 and 03ZC-19 with all conditions of approval in the staff report and addendum. This action will change the designation and zone of tax lot 100 on Deschutes County Tax Assessor's Map 22-10-11CB from public facilities to mixed-use commercial.
Mary, you want a second?
Yes, I second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
I guess it's passed. Let's move on to our next challenge, which is the one on Hinkle.
Do you want me to put on to the presentation, Tammy?
That would be great. Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah.
As you're doing that, thanks, commissioners. I'm going to exit. I'm not involved in this next one. So thank you.
Thanks,
Greg.
Thank you.
I'm sure we'll see you again.
Thanks, all. I'm going to exit.
So those members of the public that are here for the development north of Findlay Butte, that's what we are moving on to now. And I'm going to turn it over to Russ to open the hearing.
Okay, we're opening the hearing on planning file 01 sub-20 concerning the subdivision of 2.25 acres and to 10 lots in residential single family area.
All right.
It's all yours, Tammy.
It is all mine. I need to grab, I just realized, the joys of doing a Zoom call from a home office is that I realized my daughter has piano lessons at the exact moment. So I moved out to the deck and left my quasi-judicial script. So I'm going to go grab it and I'll be back in 30 seconds.
Okay. At least my dogs aren't barking.
It's called family.
Right. It's going to cost me a lot of dog biscuits for this one.
You dogs are really quiet tonight.
They are. They've been outside too long. It was a very warm day.
All right. I am back. All right. So I am required to read this script again for this hearing. So again, bear with me. The Planning Commission, as the hearing's body, will hear the argument concerning the application of Robert Marks and Rachel Snyder. The address of the property is 51430 Hinkle Way. The applicant is requesting approval of a 10-lot subdivision. All testimony shall be directed to the hearing's body. The applicable substantive criteria are those found in the staff report. All testimony, argument, and evidence must be directed to the applicable criteria in the staff report or in the comprehensive plan or zoning ordinance you believe to be applicable. At the conclusion of this hearing, the hearing's body will deliberate towards a decision or continue the hearing or deliberations to a time and date certain. Failure on the part of any person to raise an issue with sufficient specificity to afford the Planning Commission and parties to this proceeding an opportunity to respond to the issue precludes appeal to the City Council and the Land Use Board of Appeals on that issue. Failure of the applicant to raise constitutional or other issues relating to the conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to allow the local government or its designee to respond to the issue precludes an action for damages in circuit court. The hearing will proceed as follows. I'll provide a brief staff report. Applicant will provide testimony if it chooses to. All interested parties will present testimony or evidence. The applicant, as the party bearing the burden of proof, will then be afforded an opportunity to present rebuttal testimony. Opponent rebuttal may be allowed at the Planning Commission's discretion. So at this time, commissioners must disclose any ex parte contacts, including site visits, prior hearing observations, biases, or conflicts of interest. Does any commissioner have anything to disclose? And if so, please state the nature of same and whether you can proceed.
I have nothing to disclose.
Nothing for me.
Okay. Does any party wish to challenge any member of the hearings body based on ex parte contacts, biases, or conflicts?
No.
Anyone from the public? Hearing none, I will go ahead and move forward with the staff report and presentation. So let's go ahead and move to the next slide. The applicable review criteria are listed in the staff report. They are from the Lapine Development Code. All public notice was completed according to requirements, mailed to property owners, posted in the newspaper, posted on the city's website, and posted in regular locations around town. We're here at the Planning Commission for a hearing. The next steps, should this be approved, would be for construction plans to be submitted to the city and county for review, a pre-construction meeting with the city, construction or bonding of public improvements, and then the applicant would file for final plat approval prior to being able to get building permits. So the proposal before you tonight is a tentative plan for a 10-lot subdivision on 2.25 acres. On the left side is the image of the aerial. You can see it's just north of Finley Butte and Osha Court with Mack Court and Wheeler to the east. So it's the area in red on Hinkle Way. The proposed tentative plan is on the right side. You can see a cul-de-sac in the center surrounded by parcels that are perpendicular to the proposed new local street. Just a closer up view for folks. I think everybody's seen it, but I just wanted to show it again. Next page. This is a close up view of the cross sections of the street. They're proposing the local street, which would be that cul-de-sac, that is proposed per the City of Lapine Development Code, the 64-foot width for a local street with sidewalks on both sides, landscaping swales on both sides, as well as the paved asphalt streetscape. And then Hinkle Road, they highlight, is an industrial collector, and they will be required to construct a 6-foot sidewalk on their frontage of Hinkle Road, as well as a landscape swale. Just to briefly touch on the public facilities, Public Works confirmed there's water capacity out there to serve the site. Final construction plans will be reviewed by the city and approved prior to any construction. So there may be some fine tuning of some of the water connections and the way they're laid out. But in general, there's capacity to serve it, and the city will work with the applicant to make sure it is designed appropriately. Sewer, based on review by the city engineer, and this is similar to a comment that we've received on previous applications in this area, the lift station that serves this area is at capacity. So the developer will be required to contribute a pro rata share, similar to our conversation before, about is just a proportionate contribution to that lift station. And that is a $568.75 fee per equivalent dwelling unit, so essentially per home, to fund replacement for that lift station. So the city engineer took the overall cost of that new lift station and divided it out amongst all of the dwelling units and future dwelling units that would be served by that, and that's where that cost came from. Each of these lots will need to be served by a septic tank, and the siting of those septic tanks will be approved during the building permit review, but with the City Public Works and City Engineer. And similarly, final construction plans need to be submitted to the city for review and approval prior to any construction. Transportation, as I mentioned from those cross sections, they have proposed a local street according to local street standards with the sidewalks on both sides and around the cul-de-sac. They submitted a trip generation letter. Because it is a very low volume development, it's only 10 lots, it doesn't trigger any transportation impacts. It's a very small impact to the existing system. We did receive 3 public comments on this proposal, and I do want to review them. I think they're in the record, and I think they were all forwarded to commissioners, but I do want to highlight them. The first one on the top by Mr. Nielsen, he's concerned about tree preservation. There are a lot of large trees on the lot. This does show a picture here on the right side of one sample. Also concerned about construction dust control and the type of construction of homes that will be built there, whether they'll be stick-built or manufactured homes. The city's response to the commissioners and just in general on these comments are, I included them because I want the applicant to see them and be aware of them. As a good neighbor, I think having conversations with the neighbors is important. The city right now does not have a tree preservation plan or requirement. However, I would note that several neighbors have commented on the trees and have requested, I think, some not a clear cutting, but some deliberate tree management. And so I'm sharing that mostly to share that with the applicant right now to let them know that the neighbors are concerned about that. Construction dust control, we don't require anything according to that in the development code for this subdivision application itself. So we don't have any conditions proposed for it. However, at the time of construction, they will be required to comply with all public work standards, and that is part of the public work standards. So there will be requirements for dust control during construction, and that will come during the construction review. So not to dismiss it, we just don't address it this early in the stage. It'll come at that later stage before construction. And as far as the type of construction, whether they'd be stick built or manufactured, we don't know, and the city is not required to know at this point. And applicants are allowed by local and state law to build either. So that could be, if that's a continuing question from the neighbors, they could certainly reach out to the applicant to have that conversation, but it's something that the city won't have a say in or any comments on. The next comment from the public, Mr. Laveau, was requesting a solid fence to mark the property line and to control debris from leaving the property. Similarly to the last request, the development code doesn't require a subdivision to have a solid fence either during construction or afterwards. However, again, there would be some requirements through the public work standards during construction for the control and removal of debris. It sounds like there were some previous concerns that debris had migrated off of neighboring properties and into other neighboring properties, and this has been a general issue. So again, I bring that up for the applicant to note and be aware of, and to let the public know that there will be some requirements at the time of construction, just not right now as part of the land use process. And then finally, from Mary Doran, who is also a neighbor, she also requested a fence around the subdivision. I think she's referring more to the permanent fence, you know, the long-term. Again, I bring that up just to let the applicant know that that's been a comment. It's not something that the city can require, but it has been noted a few times. And she made a number of comments on tree preservation. This photo, again, highlighting the predominant ponderosa pines that are there. And she expressed a very strong desire for the applicant to not clear cut, but to possibly plan around some of the trees. So again, the city doesn't have any requirement for that, but I'm noting that for the applicant, should they be willing and interested to continue that conversation with the neighbors. Next slide.
I did just want to mention, I think that Howard Nielsen has joined our call, so.
Okay, great. And we will certainly take all testimony from anyone that wants to provide testimony or additional testimony after the applicant.
Okay.
Hey, Howard Nielsen here, N-I-E-L-S-E-N. I represent myself, my wife, Sue, and we live at 16606 Asher Court. Our backyard abuts up against the development.
Okay. Howard?
Howard? You have to wait until after the applicant presents their testimony.
Thank you.
Please.
Okay.
We'll get back to you, honestly.
That'll be momentarily. Okay. Right. There is a list of proposed conditions of approval in the end of the staff report. I did not repeat them here intentionally because they are very long. They are always very long. I want to caveat it with that. There were not any unusual ones for me to highlight here, but I know the commission has had the staff report for quite some time. So if we need to dig into any of them, happy to answer any of those questions, but they're generally standard conditions of approval. I'll reiterate again, all of these plans will need to be submitted to the city engineer and public works director to review before any construction. Next slide.
Shall we go on to, is that the end of your
presentation? Yeah, that is the end of mine. In fact, I've got one more slide down below. We can come back to this recommended motion. Alexa, I have one more slide at the bottom that I thought in case the applicant isn't displaying anything, we put this up on the screen while he talks to it.
Okay.
If they want to. So mm-hmm. Before we turn that over to the applicant from the commission, are there any questions on the comments I've made so far?
No.
No. We get along fine.
Okay. I'll go ahead and turn it over to the applicant then. I'll let Rachel and Tim and Robert work out who's going in what order if you guys have different comments.
Right.
Sure. I'll go ahead and start off, Tammy. This is Tim Weissup with Sun Country Engineering on behalf of the applicant. Good evening again. How we all doing?
Fine, thank you.
Hopefully everybody's good. With all this fun online meeting stuff. But I'm going to give Tammy kudos because I think she hit all the high spots. I don't really have much of anything to address specifically. This is another project that was resurrected. Originally, we had 12 lots proposed on this and approved back in 07 or so. So we, once Rachel and Bob picked it up, we did some reconfiguration back to the new code. And again, struggling with the cul-de-sac, but this was probably the preferred layout. And if you kind of look at the small trees on the plan there, those are the major trees, and I don't have them all marked specifically. If you've been by the site or just look around, you note that there's a lot of small vegetation, but we tie the larger trees. And if you can kind of pick those out, it's probably very possible to, and probably a good idea. It's a benefit to the development and the owner and the contractor to try and save some of those larger trees around there. Again, it's not particularly relevant to the application, but I'll let Bob address their plans in the future, which will probably be helpful just for the commission here and the public, certainly, and address concerns. I don't think I have anything else at this time. If we need to make a rebuttal, we can, but I have gone through the conditions of approval, and I don't think we have any issues with anything in the report.
Any more applicant testimony?
If you don't have any questions for me, I'll let Bob or Rachel, if they want to just add a few words.
Okay. Go ahead.
Bob, are you there?
You see if they're muted. I just asked him to unmute, so.
Unmute. Oh, there.
Yeah. Hi, Rob.
How are you? Yeah. Sorry. So I just have very few words. I just want you to know that I myself prefer to leave all the trees we can. I don't know about the really large trees, but I have a home just down the road here in Three Rivers, and it has a lot of really big trees. In fact, my insurance company's been getting after me without being too close to the house with the trees, you know, so there's kind of a balance there. I think we'll try and keep all the medium size, the real large ones that might be a danger in the storm or something. We might have to remove some of those, I think. But I'd like to keep as many as possible, even maybe plant some more or move some. They'll grow and it'll be a nice site. Regarding the fencing, and I know it's not part of this application, but as they say, good fences make good neighbors. And I believe that, and I'll certainly put up some fences here so that people feel, you know, there isn't a lot of movement between this subdivision and other properties. I have no problem with saying that I'll do that, and I'll certainly do that. I want happy neighbors, you know. Our plan is to own this, actually, and build this out. Rachel is my daughter. She lives in Eugene, and I'm from Oregon, born and raised in Oregon. The funny part of this property, I know it's a little peculiar, but I didn't know this Hinkle was my great uncle until my cousin who visited me in Hawaii about 6 months ago, she tells me, oh, that's my grandpa's. I used to go down that road and visit my grandpa's, but it's just kind of the fate. I ended up purchasing this property that great uncle had, you know, and I didn't know that that was part of the Hinkle family that I'm related to. But so even though I'm kind of a stranger now, I live in Hilo. I'm a lawyer, but I used to build houses. That's how I got through law school in Portland, night law school. I built houses in the daytime. And I don't intend to build this myself or anything, but to hire it done. We intend to keep most of it, maybe sell some properties that we have to sell in order to keep good cash flow and stuff. We want to become members of this community long term. That's what we plan on doing. That's all. Be glad to answer any questions anybody has. If I can answer them, I'll...
Yes, please.
Okay, let's open it up to public comment.
I'm Janine Wagner. I live on Asha Court. Is this a good time to speak?
It's a good time to speak. You got in before Howard.
I'm just listening in.
Okay, we'll get back to you, Howard.
Okay, then.
See you another day, Howard. So I'm lot 8 on Asha Court, and I am wondering if you would be able to tell me about how close to lot 8 there could be a backyard or one of the new 10 houses.
I can answer that from the city code standpoint. At this point, this required locations of homes, but what the code says is that for the residential single family zone, the rear yard setback is 20 feet.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that last part, please?
Sure. Yeah, well, I should confirm your lot 8 is to the south of this development, is that correct?
Yes.
Immediately south. Okay. Yeah, so the rear, the side of their lots would be abutting yours would be the rear yard. And the requirement for the city code is that rear yard setbacks in the residential single family zone is 20 feet.
Okay.
They could go greater than that if they chose to, but 20 feet is what they're required to have a minimum of.
Okay, so does that mean that there will be 20 feet between their backyard and my backyard, or?
That would be 20 feet, a minimum of 20 feet from the back of their house to the property line.
20 feet from the back of their house to the property line. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And so just by listening to the meeting so far, I'm gathering that building may not start for a year or two, I'm assuming.
Again, the city doesn't. Oh, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry. The city doesn't have any information on their timing. The requirements would be that they would need to file final plat within 2 years, but they could build homes sooner than that or later than that. Before they can build any homes, they have to get all the infrastructure built. So that will take some time.
Okay. Okay. And it will be regular single family home housing, not low income housing.
We don't require information on that at this point. We just we're at the very beginning stages of doing the subdivision. The applicant is welcome to respond to that if they would like to, but it's not required for us to know that right now at this time of the development.
Okay. I'd be glad to try and respond if you want me to right now.
Yes, please.
All right. We want to keep the houses affordable, and if we're renting them, the rent affordable, we think this is like a blue-collar people and retirees probably are going to be the people that are renting this, people that are working people. But we don't plan on any county housing or low-income housing. But we're trying to make it an affordable subdivision, and the house is affordable.
Okay. Thank you. We'd like to keep
the price lower, considerably lower than the Bend price for the same type of home.
It doesn't take much.
No problem here.
No.
Now. Sorry.
Maybe I could trade my house for one of your new ones.
You might want to.
Okay, thank you for that. Let's see.
Next, Howard.
Still there? Howard Nielsen here.
Right.
I spell N-I-E-L-S-E-N. My wife's name is Sue. We live, I don't have the lot number, but it's 16606 Asher Court, right next door to Jardine, who just finished speaking to. And you read my concern about the clear cutting and trying to keep the larger trees in there and then the dust control on that. And from what I understand, the city of Lapine does not have any control over whether it's going to be stick-built or manufactured homes. Is that correct?
That is correct. We do not have, we cannot determine that.
Okay. And the other thing, there was some discussion I didn't quite understand was the removal of the debris. I didn't understand that. Is that the city does not have control over the removal of debris, or did I misunderstand?
No, you didn't misunderstand. The city does not at this time of the process have any regulations that would require as part of the land division. But when it comes time to construction, when there would be debris there, that would be part of the construction requirements and public work standards. So it is, and it's certainly also part of the nuisance code. So there are several different codes in place to enforce the debris removal and the management of the debris. It's just not quite this early in the stage.
I understand. And then there was a discussion about the sewer and a lift pump. I know here in Asher Court, we're on that system where it all goes into a large tank. In fact, a city of Lapine just pumped it out this week, this past couple of days. Is that going to be a similar system where everything flows into a common tank and then is maintained by Lapine? Or is it going to be sewer that goes to a lift area and then is processed?
So it will be a septic tank on each lot, then the solid in the septic tank.
Okay, so the homeowners will be responsible
then. Sewer system.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, because here we're not. We pay the city, as you probably aware, we pay along with our water bill, and it becomes part of the rental. From my understanding, we're on a common tank, and then that's maintained by the city of Lapine, which we pay in turn for that through our water bill and so forth. Is that correct?
I know that was the previous arrangement, yes. The city has require all the septic tanks to be, and in this case, okay, to be managed and maintained by the homeowner. And that of approval of the application and the support.
Okay. Well, I don't have anything else except for the concern about the trees. And I have to tell you, I'm sure there's a fine people who are the applicant and so forth. I've been through this before. This happened to be a bunch of beautiful old trees, and they were suddenly removed overnight, and the contractor begged forgiveness. So I don't know how they control. I hate to be a cynic, but it's happened before where I've been involved. So anyway, buy as you might, keep those beautiful trees, you know. Thank you so much. I'll just listen in for now. Thank you.
Is there any other questions, answers? Okay, let's go to deliberations.
I didn't hear anything to rebut personally. This is Tim again. I wonder if Rachel or Bob had anything else to add. I don't have anything else to add.
I don't have anything. Thank you.
And I don't have anything.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Yep.
Carry on.
So let's go to deliberations. Anything, Mary?
No, I like what they had to say, and I agree about the trees. But other than that, what is the water system there then if they're going to be on septic? Do they have
city water? They're going to have city water.
Okay. That's all I needed to know.
Okay. Well, somebody changes something on me. It's city water and city sewer. So.
Okay.
They're ahead Harry of us, here. Mary.
What?
They're ahead of us as far as we live in Cagle. So.
I know. Okay.
We'll get there someday.
Maybe. Hopefully.
Okay, this Harry, is Harry.
Any questions on your part?
I'm all in favor of more affordable housing. This looks like a pretty good project. I'm in that neighborhood that they're building in, so I would like to see this take place. Thank you.
Okay.
Russ, this is John Cameron speaking.
Yes. Hi, John.
And I've been at, I've been listening in for about the last half hour. I was unable to join by Zoom. And so I drove down to City Hall and back, and they gave me the number of the call. But,
Hi, John.
Okay.
Hi, yeah, John.
Everything's hi. So I really don't have any comments. I mean, yes, it's going to be a good subdivision, I think. And just, you know, let's go.
Okay.
My only statement is this is a lot easier than a whole bunch of other ones we've gone through recently. So,
thank you.
Agreed. Agreed.
Yes.
Okay. Somebody want to read the application?
Put that motion back up. I'm ready.
Terry?
I move the approval of land use application 01SUB-20. Tax lot 1300 on Deschutes County Tax Assessor's Map 11-10-14AC with the recommended conditions of approval in the staff report.
I second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
John? Aye.
Aye for me. All opposed? It's been passed.
Okay.
Okay. Anybody else have anything here?
Great, Vince. Thank you. Appreciate it, guys. We'll see you next time.
Yeah, thanks. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep. Any other matters to be brought up?
Not that I'm aware of.
I don't have any.
No.
None. Okay, then I adjourn this meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Thank you all. Thank you. Have a good evening.
Thank you. Nice meeting all of you. Hopefully we'll be in person.
Okay. Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Stop sharing.
That is all.
Bye.